Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has appointed Mirek Topolánek, the country's new prime minister, and named a new right-leaning minority cabinet. Mirek Topolánek will visit Slovakia for the first time as prime minister on Wednesday. Incoming ministers have outlined immediate plans to implement while in office. President Václav Klaus has officially appointed Mirek Topolánek prime minister and named his minority Civic Democrat government to office. The ceremony took place at Prague Castle shortly after 2 p.m. The appointing of the government follows weeks of negotiations in which the Civic Democrats tried but failed to secure tolerance for their government in advance of an upcoming confidence vote. As a result, many observers are not giving Mr. Topolánek's new cabinet much chance of staying in power. The vote of confidence must be held within the next 30 days. Under the Constitution, if the new government fails to pass, the Czech president will then have to decide on whether to name Mr. Topolánek or someone in his stead to lead a new round of negotiations. Mr. Topolánek has said all along that he expects his minority cabinet, now sworn in, to have only a limited mandate. He has made clear he would like the government to lead the country to early elections next spring. The Czech daily Mladá fronta Dnes has written that Prime Minister Topolánek's first foreign visit will be to neighboring Slovakia on Wednesday. According to the report, Mr. Topolánek's visit will be unofficial, but he is to meet Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico. That following the two countries' football matchup in a qualifier for the 2008 European Championship. Mr. Topolánek told the paper that the visit would be a short one. A day earlier on Tuesday, newly named Foreign Minister Alexander Vondra will also visit Slovakia to take part in a meeting of the Visegrad Four, made up of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, and Poland. And future members of the minority cabinet of the Civic Democratic Party have articulated concrete ideas on which they would like to focus following their appointment. Newly named Minister for Labor and Social Affairs Petr Nečas has said work on pension reform must begin and that changes should be implemented within the welfare system in order to motivate individuals to actively seek employment. New Minister for Regional Development Petr Gandalovich is planning to change the system of drawing money from EU funds. Mr. Gandalovich says the Czech Republic needs to speed up the drawing for the years 2004 to 2006 as there is a big delay in some financial programs and the country might have to return the money to Brussels. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Sunshine with a few cloudy periods are expected over the next few days, with temperatures rising as high as 24 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Pavla Horáková. Coming up in today's program, who should pay for new metro lines to be built in Prague? And who are the personalities or assets that best represent the Czech Republic abroad? The holidays are over, it's back to school again. All that plus a roundup of sports news coming up, so don't go away. Those of you who are familiar with Prague know about one of its great perks, a transit system combining a metro, tram lines and buses, all running according to an exact schedule. The metro system is in the process of expansion along the northern line that will now end at a popular shopping destination, Letňany, and the entire project is slated to cost 15 billion crowns. Yet there is a debate raging over just how much the city should pay and how much the government should contribute. Linda Maštalić has the details.
Prague's public transit system. Residents swear by it and tourists rave about it. It's what makes the Czech capital so easy to navigate. The metro system, originally built in the 1970s, has seen a number of expansions in recent years. The current major project is an extension of the C, or the Red Line, which is set to open in about 20 months and will carry passengers along the northern line to the district of Letňany. The entire project is set to cost 15 billion crowns, almost 700 million US dollars, and when it's completed, there will be an additional 4.6 kilometers of route, three new stations, and easy access to an already opened and popular shopping center. Yet in August, Prague City Hall discovered that according to the state budget proposal for 2007, there is not one Czech crown allotted towards financing the expansion of the metro system. As could be expected, reactions from City Hall have been strongly critical. Deputy Mayor Petr Hulinský says that it is not possible to expect the city to finance a huge project like modernizing the metro, which is significant for the entire country, all on its own. Mayor Pavel Bem is equally outspoken, citing examples of other European cities that receive substantial aid from national governments for transit projects. For example, the Hungarian government funded the entire construction of a fourth line for the Budapest metro system. Where public transit is concerned, states as prosperous as Holland and as economically troubled as Romania fund 90% of costs. In Italy, Rome gets 70% of its public transit costs covered by the government, and the remaining 30% come from the coffers of the capital city and the local region. The city of Prague requested a contribution of 1 billion crowns from the Ministry of Finance towards the Sea Line expansion, and so far, nothing. Meanwhile, the blame for the outgoing Social Democratic government's budget proposal is being bounced between the different ministries. The Ministry of Transportation says that it was the Ministry of Finance that axed the request for a subsidy to Prague's metro, while the Ministry of Finance spokesperson, Petra Krajňová, says that the matter was fully in the hands of the Ministry of Transportation. Whether or not Prague can expect some financial assistance from the state remains to be seen, and Mayor Bem says that the new Civic Democratic minority government could have a more favorable approach. During the past 4 years, Prague has invested 10 billion crowns towards improving the metro system, while the state has contributed 1.5 billion crowns.
Thank you very much for that report. That was Linda Maštalíř. What first comes to mind when someone mentions the Czech Republic? Most people think of good beer, some think of the former president Václav Havel, others of Jaromír Jágr or Pavel Nedvěd. However, despite the fact that the Czech Republic has been a fully-fledged member of the EU since 2004, few people in Europe and beyond know much about it. The Foreign Ministry has launched a campaign to change that and aims to present the Czech Republic as a modern, dynamic state in the heart of Europe. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
Although Prague is now one of Europe's most popular tourist attractions, the years spent behind the Iron Curtain have left their mark. Opinion surveys suggest that the country is often seen as a rather backward, rustic, post-communist state. Jana Adamcová, who heads the ministry's PR department, says that many people have even failed to register the fact that the Czechoslovak Federation broke up in 1993, leaving the Czech Republic an independent state.
Many people connect our country still with the name Czechoslovakia because it is a strong brand, so we must present ourselves as a single country without Slovakia. And they didn't know very much concrete things. Therefore, we want to present more the concrete icons, concrete symbols to illustrate our innovativeness, our rich culture and history.
What do people know about this country? What sort of is the first thing that comes to mind when you say you're from the Czech Republic?
It is definitely Prague, 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 Prague. And then they know, of course, beer, they know Václav Havel, they know Czech glass, and they know Skoda cars.
The Czech Foreign Ministry wants to tell the world just how much the Czech Republic has to offer, and in cooperation with the website aktualne.cz, it asks Czechs to pick the top 100 people or assets that they think would best represent their country. Aktualne.cz's Miroslav Čepecký explains what the project involved.
We asked them to choose the 100 subjects or personalities, and together more than 25,000 people voted, and they were divided in five categories. One of them were like the real sightseeings, then the natural sightseeings, then science, business and culture. And in each category there were 20 representatives, and we didn't have like the first and the second and the third. We just from each category chose the one which was the most popular by the people, and all the others are just put together without any order.
Were there any big surprises?
Surprises? I think that the final 100 represents really 100 very interesting things which are Czech. But surprises were suggestions. For example, some people suggested to involve in Czech 100 plastic bags because many people use them and wear them. Or we noticed also that some companies tried to get into Czech 100. For example, one big second-hand car dealer tried to get there. So employees of this company voted to put their company there. But as I said, altogether there were 25,000 readers who voted. So in this big amount of votes, it was not possible to place in Czech 100 something like this. So we have there only serious representatives.
As Mr. Chopetsky explained, there are 20 representatives in each of the five categories, among them the opera singer Emma Destin, athlete Roman Šebrle, scientist František Křižík, also dubbed the Czech Edison, who built the first electric railway in Prague in 1891, Otto Wichterle, who invented contact lenses, painter Alfons Mucha, composer Antonín Dvořák, film director Miloš Forman, Charles Bridge, Laterna Magica, the crystal glass industry, the Czech song Škoda Lásky, also known as Roll Out the Barrel, and Czech beer, but of course many, many others you may not have heard of. So how does the ministry hope to highlight these Czech achievements and assets? Jana Adamcová again.
We will include the top 100 to all the promotion materials that we will distribute to our embassies and Czech centers. Concretely, it means, for example, image posters, brochures, web pages, and so on.
The Foreign Ministry's Jana Adamcová ending that report by Daniela Lazarová. And the ministry's webpage promoting the Czech Republic is www.czech.cz. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. After 9 weeks away, Czech school children and secondary school students have returned to their classrooms. Among the 1.4 million pupils are also 93,000 first graders. The number is up again after several years of stagnation or decline and reflects a slight increase in the birth rate after 2000. Let's take a brief look back at the history of primary education in the Czech Republic. School in this country traditionally starts at the beginning of September, a date established in around 1905, and schools break up at the end of June. Prior to that, school used to start around the middle of September. Originally, the summer holidays were not meant to be a time of rest and recreation for the children. Children were necessary helping hands during harvest work. As children were much needed laborers in previous centuries, their parents often did not send them to school when there was work to do in the field or about the house. Bad weather was also a reason not to go to school. Villages often could not afford to heat up the classrooms in winter. Compulsory primary education was introduced in the Czech lands by the Habsburg Empress Maria Theresa in 1774, even though primary schools existed long before that, even in small villages, often founded along with local parishes. In many cases, the teachers were church wardens or retired soldiers, often lacking any qualification for the profession. It was not rare that the children left school without having acquired even the most elementary knowledge. Almost 100 years later, in 1869, compulsory education was extended from 6 to 8 years, and attendance was more strictly monitored. After several changes were introduced between 1945 and 1989, it was established in 1995 that children in the Czech Republic are obliged to complete 9 years of schooling. You are tuned to Radio Prague, and now Ian Willoughby is here with a look at the latest sports news.
Thanks, Pavla. The Czech football team have got off to a positive start in their bid to reach the 2008 European Championships with a thrilling 2-1 win over Wales in Teplice on Saturday. Coach Karel Brückner made some inspired selections, Mladá Boleslav striker Marek Kulic, making his international debut weeks short of his 31st birthday, was voted man of the match, though it was substitute David Lafata of Jablonec who stole the headlines. 2 minutes into his international debut, he scored with his first touch to put the Czechs ahead. And if that didn't sound enough like a fairy tale, he scored again on 89 minutes to win the game, after a Martin Juranek own goal had brought Wales back into it. While the Czechs were celebrating in Teplice, the Welsh manager, John Toshak, a great player in his day and former boss at Real Madrid, was angry after the match, saying match officials had made some serious mistakes.
Apparently the first goal, they tell me, is an offside, clear offside position. I didn't see that too much. The second goal annoyed me. You can't take a free kick, throw the ball on the floor while it's rolling, take it. It's not in the rules. It has to be still. We're clutching at straws a little bit, maybe, saying that, but that is what happened. I mean, you wouldn't say that's why we were. Lots of things happened after that. But, you know, we took a chance when we were one behind. We got ourselves back in it. As you say, to lose it after that is cruel, because they were bad calls from our point of view. I think they could have been prevented. Although if the first one's offside, it's offside.
Wales manager John Toshak. The Czech Republic should face a sterner test in their next game against Slovakia in Bratislava on Wednesday night. Staying with football, Sparta Prague have appointed their 16th manager since 1993, with Michal Bílek replacing Stanislav Griga at the end of last week. Like Bílek himself, Sparta's new assistant boss, Horst Ziegel, is another former star player for the club. Only last week, Ziegel scored his 176th league goal for Must. The former international said, along with accepting the new job, he has decided to hang up his boots at the age of 37. There are two Czech singles players, both men, left in tennis's US Open as the tournament goes into its second week. Jiří Novák reached the fourth round after a four-sets win over Belgium's Xavier Malisse. But the 31-year-old will have a lot to do to overcome his next opponent, second seed Rafael Nadal of Spain. Tomáš Berdych, meanwhile, overcame Russia's Dmitry Turusnov in five sets to set up a clash in the fourth round with James Blake of the USA. And that's all the sport for today.
You are listening to Radio Prague, where it's time now for our interview programme One on One. Today you have another chance to hear Ian Willoughby's interview with Petr Šourek, the artistic director of a theatre for the homeless.
Ženy! Jsou ženy! Od pasu výše! Od pasu dolů kentauři! Až po pás!
A scene from a performance by the Ježek a Čišek Theatre here in Prague. It's most unusual in that all of its members either are homeless or have spent time on the streets in the past. Its dramaturg, or artistic director, is Petr Šourek. I caught up with Petr after a show at Prague's No D Club and asked him to tell me a little bit about the history of the Ježek and Čišek theatre group.
So it's an existence approximately 5 years. It was like, you know, a hobby of people who sold street paper, Nový Prostor.
Which I should say is a bit like the Big Issue. It's the Czech equivalent, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And it grew bigger, and so it's now independent from Nový Prostor, and there came through like 200 people. Yeah, some were playing, some just going to rehearsals and in contact with our theatre.
Do you find that people drop out, so to speak, when they have more difficult times in their lives? If they're actually homeless, they're less likely to come at that time.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because we have to find the people who are really in trouble, who are not in the real homeless routine. But if you are homeless, most of our actors or clients are people from smaller towns. And the first idea, if you lose your job, if you are actually homeless, if you have a serious family problems, the first idea is to take train to Prague and to look for better living. You know, and these people just drop in central station, railway station in Prague, and they don't know what to do. These are typical homeless people in Prague. They are just in big, urban area, but they don't know the area actually. So we make a kind of street work. We offer to them, you can come, you can make rehearsal, and for us are especially interesting people who are not homeless for years, who are homeless for, let's say, a month.
You think it's more possible to save them, so to speak?
Yeah, to help them at least, because we are no kind of charity. We have no one aim or one end for our homeless people. So we just ask these people, we help them to find their own solutions of their own problems.
I know a couple of them at least have had problems in the past with alcohol. Does it make it harder to organize them, so to speak?
Alcohol is a big problem, but there are drugs as well and other problems. We have just one rule. If you drink, you can't play.
I was a bit shocked after I saw the theater group a couple of months ago to learn that one of the members had AIDS. I presume the other members are okay about that? It's not an issue within the group?
I think people on the street probably have a lot of prejudices, but the street learn you very, very fast, a bit tolerance. So I don't think that there's big issue inside of the group.
How many of them can really act? Or how many of them are just enthusiastic and keen to do something?
Really act. So they have no actor training. So they can't really act in the theater, in the state theater or something like this. But at the same time, they can play. And we make them play, not to act.
What's the difference?
I think to be a little bit more playful than because acting is like a more serious job, and playing is without limits.
I visited the theater's rehearsal space in a kind of basement in Žižkov. You don't have a permanent theater. What kind of places do you actually play in?
We play in different clubs or different festivals, sometimes even on the street. Yeah, we can find a lot of places we can play.
And you were telling me earlier you played at some train station?
Yeah, we play on the train station as well, but it's quite difficult to with the railway company to arrange.
They don't like the idea.
I think that if you say we are here for homeless people, many people say, oh, it could bring problems, you know. We do understand it, but we don't want it.
Just to digress for a second, what would you say in general is the attitude of Czech people towards homelessness? Because in this country, it's a relatively new phenomenon, I think you could say.
On the one hand, it's like a new word for them. There was no jobless or homeless people, but really there were. But officially, there were no such people. So they have to get used to them. On the other hand, I think that some people really can't understand how fast is the way from their apartment to the street.
From your experience of homeless people here in Prague, do you know if they often encounter trouble or violence or any kind of abuse from other people?
I think it's a Czech song that it's dress what makes people. So it depends on dress. If you are well-dressed, and I think most of our actors are actually something like the top or the best or top class of homeless, yeah, they are not well-dressed, but they are acceptably good-dressed. So I think they can't meet this kind of violence. But if they are badly dressed, so if they even smell badly or something like this, people, of course, have a distance to them.
When you say that your clients are the top class of homeless, what do you mean by that?
It's about this routine. If you are in the homeless routine, it's like you are not trying anymore. You probably drink more. Our clients our actors are trying, are playing, so they are not like hopeless cases.
What do you hope or what do you want them to get from the experience of being a member of the Ježek and Čišek theatre?
I think the first is that they are members of groups which accept them as they are, not as they should be or as they would be, as they are. The second is that they learn that they can something, do, and that they probably should little bit play or act if they look for jobs. So I think it's a very good training for job interviews.
Would you say it gives them confidence?
Yeah, exactly. Confidence is actually something what Czechs are generally missing, and homeless people the more than the others.
Petr Šurek, thank you very much.
You're welcome, and come to our shows.
And let me just say that the program was first broadcast in January this year. And that has brought us to the end of the program. If you'd like to listen back to the stories, just go to www.radio.cz, where you'll find all our current and past stories, both in sound and text. The address for your comments and questions is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. From me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team, goodbye and thanks for listening.